Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Graham said, in the home, character is formed, integrity is born, values we live by are made clear, and attitudes are formed that last a lifetime. Is your home built on a solid foundation of prayer and Bible reading and family devotions? Billy Graham. Join me, my beloved, in praying the common prayer. Billy Graham preached to all people, joined up with whoever he needed to join up with to preach the gospel to crowds, even the Church of England, to some degree, and we get this prayer, the common prayer, from that group. And old ancient prayer. And so we pray it, and you can actually get a blessing from it if you pray it with meaning and not just mouth the words. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent. According to thy promises, declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Let's go to the family verses. I call the family verses Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where God deals with the entire family. He deals with how the devil will seek to destroy your family or your individual life or the church. And we read these verses for 30 years in our family, in our family closet, so to speak. And God has given me the liberty to try to encourage others to have family devotions. And this is what we did. Many families are in trouble, and they need the structure that these verses provide. And if your family is having problems, go back to the Word of God. Don't try to handle it yourself or let somebody else handle it. For the truth of the matter is, sadly, many men and many women have lost their spouses going to counseling with so-called Christian counselors, pastoral counselors, counselors in the business of counseling, when affections begin to switch over to the counselor and not to each other as it should be. And I would encourage you, if you're going to get counseling for your marriage, get it with a husband and wife team that will actually be in the room with you. Because what happens is, most male counselors, they're going to fall down They might fall down and go down, but they're going to come down on the side of the woman almost every time in our society. If you go to a female counselor, she's going to come down on the side of the man in many cases, unless she's one of these strong feminist women who always sees the woman as a victim. Then the man is in trouble big time, because he's going to be seen as a monster. But what has happened, sadly, oftentimes when there's trouble in the marriage, people have ended up committing adultery with the counselor. So get with a couple if you can. Normally, quite frankly, even without the education, an older couple touched by the pastor, handpicked by the pastor, can be of better service by just sitting in their living room talking over some things and saying that we've been married for 50 years and yeah, we went through that as well. Here's how you handle that. So only get counseling from a husband-wife team. Too many bad things have happened otherwise, and not to mention it's just not a balanced situation if it's a male counseling a couple or a female counseling a couple. Now that's free. That has nothing to do with this devotion. It's not written down. I just share that with you for your own good. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 28 and 29. The Bible reads, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And, sir, you have to ask yourself, do you love your wife? Do you even love yourself? And we got many men who don't love their wives because they don't love themselves. That has never been a problem with me. I love me. And I don't like pain. I don't like being chastised by God, and I am a firm believer that God will get you, sir, if you are mean and hateful and mistreat your wife. God will get you. God will deal with you about that. I make no mistake about it. As long as she stays out of it, he'll get you. You don't have to worry about it. God will also regulate what you say to your wife. If you're saved, I'm talking to saved men, I hope. There's some things that you want to say, but God said, no, don't say that. Because as soon as you say it, it's going to grieve his spirit. And therefore, the fellowship is broken with you and him. And so, he doesn't play that. It's up to you. Now, there are some things he'll give you liberty to say. If she's wrong about something and she tries to escalate it, you might have to step it up and say some things and rebuking her, and God will let you do that. But being a mean monster is not going to be tolerated by God, so you do what you want to do. Verse 29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." And by the way, it's not about fearing the wife and what she can do, sir. Never let a woman put you in that kind of situation where you fear her taking the kids, you fear her taking your house and so forth and so on. If it's like that, then you don't have a marriage, man. You need to fear God. And you'll do the right thing. You don't need to fear your wife. And by the way, just like a teenager can feel the fear in a parent who is letting them have their way, trying to appease them, a wife can smell blood quicker than that, sir. And a woman, I don't care what they say, they don't want a scary man. They do not want a man who's afraid of them. They will test you to see whether or not you are afraid. You let her know up front, you do whatever you want. I'm going to do the right thing. You do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to do the right thing. So allow me to read that verse 29 again. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. All the men I know who are Christians, they love their wives and they want the best for their wives. At the same time, just like me, I'm not going to allow my wife to disrespect me in my house and disrespect me in front of my children. That's not happening. That's not going to happen. And deep down, I know that she does not want that to be allowed. We all have instincts about the authority over us. Children have instincts. They know. You don't have to worry about it. When you have to put your foot down with your teenagers or children, don't be feeling all guilty about that. They know they're wrong, and most teenagers want somebody to put their foot down and to give them parameters and boundaries and direction. Deep down, that's not going to be on the surface. They will look at you and like they're mad at you and put the silent treatment on you and talk real low and walk in the house and you got guests and the lady jumps on, how are you and what is your name? And they look at them with a monster face and a monster sound. Yeah. My name is DZ. What's up? Sounding like a monster. Don't let that frighten you. Deep down in their heart of hearts, they want you to be a parent. And same thing, sir, with your wife. She wants you to be a husband. And you're going to lose your wife if you try to appease her. You're going to lose your wife if you let her have her way, because she's going to feel like you're nothing. She can just twist you around her little finger and do whatever she wants. She disrespects you on her blog. She disrespects you in front of her girlfriends. She disrespects you in front of in front of the pastor and his wife. And don't pay him any mind. Don't pay him attention. All that kind of foolishness. So if you want to keep your wife, be the man that God made you to be and let her know where the line is drawn, and don't cross that. Don't try to embarrass me in front of anybody. Don't disrespect me in front of my children. Don't diss me in front of your family. Don't diss me in front of your girlfriend, because that's going to cause a problem. Okay, if she understands that, then you have less problems, and she'll probably stay with you. I know it sounds like it won't work, but it will. Now, if you've been a pansy and a little henpecked man for the past 30 years, now I would not advise you to try to change that. You let her have the upper hand. She's got it. She's had it for 30 years. And just like that white lady told me, Mrs. Nutt, I know you think she's a nut. She told me a long time ago, if you let her have the reins, she's going to keep them. And you can't get them back. That's what happened to my dear dad. I love my dad. He was a very loving man, a saved man. But he loved his wife too much, and he loved my mother too much, and he loved us too much, to the point of letting us have our way, and that's not the proper kind of love that God wants us to have. So do it God's way and you'll win. Don't bow, kowtow, sir, to anybody. Your wife, your children, nobody. You are the king of that castle, whether you want to be or not. And you need to do it God's way, and don't wait too late to do that. Anyway, David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 24, Paul gave three reasons for a Christian wife's submission to her husband. And I know some of you say, oh, this is so old-fashioned. This is not fitting for the modern church and modern world. Who are you? You got that beard going on, the gray white hair going on. I know you look like a prophet and all of that for you, but you look like a prophet from 2,000 years ago instead of 2018. Who do you think you are telling us this stuff right here? We don't want to hear this. This is not from modern times. It doesn't matter whether it's whether you think that this is from modern times or not. It is biblical, and this is what works. And this is why your marriage is all jacked up. This is why you are on the way to the divorce court. This is why your children are raising Cain and hell and don't respect you and don't do what you tell them and so forth and so on. Your whole family is jacked up because you're not doing it the old-fashioned way. So, in addressing the Christian husbands, Paul also gave three reasons to love their wife. First, they should love their wife this way, because this is what love is. Paul indicates this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Number two, second, they should love their wife this way, because the relationship between husband and wife has a pattern, the relationship of Jesus and his church. Paul indicates this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 29, just as Christ also loved the church, so husbands ought to love their own wives just as the Lord does the church. And sir, you have to ask yourself, do you love your wife? I mean, God knows, and you know, and she knows. It may not be the Romeo and Juliet kind of love. Maybe you didn't have the original, strike the original match, like Charles Swindoll talked about. I thank God for those couples that have that easy, loving relationship. You can tell, like Billy Graham and his wife, they loved each other and they loved being around each other. Was their marriage perfect? No. Was there a lot of stress involved in the marriage? Yes. His daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, who I love, who I believe is a prophetess to this nation, and she doesn't care what you think about it, she admitted that there were times when, in her marriage, that she wished she could get out of it. But she stayed in it until the man died. Well, let me say that in a nicer way. Until her husband died. And I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it like that. But she just, you know, she stayed with, and it got better way before he died and went on home to be the Lord. Okay? But I mean, and people need to be real about this. I thank God for Billy Graham and Ruth Bell Graham and their wonderful marriage relationship. I got a friend, Brother Sammy Madison. He and his wife. Now she didn't like me too much, but this brother here stood with me, and in the ministry for many years, and I love the fact that they love. I mean, I'll tell you one thing: she loved him, and she loved those children, Juanita. She loved her husband, and she loved those children. They make no mistake about it. And they loved each other. And you see them every now and then. You can tell. The little princes over there, and their little wives, and fiance over there in England. You can tell they love each other. They like each other. This is good, and it's easy. It's not forced like Diane and Charles. Oh, my soul. Everybody knew that was doomed. It's all fake. It's all phony. Okay? So you can't fake this, man. Thank God for those couples that love each other. with God, the God kind of love, and also have that Romeo and Juliet spark. I told you about the old couple had been married for 60 years. I saw they were going inside a restaurant, and they were holding hands. I said, wow, look at that. Look at that. I said, how long y'all been married? Oh, we've been married 60 years. They going like little kids. They were married for 60 years. I'm not saying they're 60 years old. Married for 60 years. Doggone it. Do you hear me? And they holding hands going into a little old restaurant. Just as happy as they could be. Have you seen some of these folks? A few of these people going into Walmart? They get out the car. Wife is slightly behind her. He's got his hand out for his wife. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's how it should be. And most people don't have that. Now, we got some folks who read a book and try to do that. And just like Melania Trump slaps away Trump's hand every time he put his hand out, that woman puts her slaps his hand, or he don't even put the hand out at all. And after a while, Trump gonna stop putting that hand out. I love Melania. I love Melania. You know Melania don't want to be up there doing that. Just like Michelle Obama didn't want to do that. But she is, I tell you what, she's stepping into it. That girl looked like a first lady, both of them. But Melania keeps it real. Don't be putting out no hand holding my hand, man. We don't do that. Okay? So keep it real. Keep it real. Stop reading these books. Read the Bible. If you don't have that, be happy for those who have it. Pray for them to keep it. And pray that God will at least continue to give you and your husband or your wife the God kind of agape love that is unconditional. Amen, somebody. But don't fake nothing, man. People can see right through your fake mess. You never hold hands at home. You never hold hands going to another. So as soon as you get around some other couple holding hands, here you reaching out. Stop that lie. Stop it. Stop it. Stop that. Stop those lies. Billy Graham and his wife, Ruth Bell Graham, when they held hands, they meant it. They would sit down in a rocking chair and hold hands. What? Are you kidding me? They're on the front porch. It's just, there's nobody around, no cameras. They holding hands. They loved each other, man, all of their life. Were there some difficult moments? Were there some dark clouds? Yes, yes, yes. Of course. Were there times when she didn't like certain things? She has said, she said it. She would speak her mind about it. Billy Graham was preaching one time. He said, Jesus Christ is the only sinner, somebody, because I'll tell you what, my wife is here. She'll tell you how much of a sinner I am. That's what Billy Graham said. So we thank God for those wonderful, loving, not only agape-loving relationship, but that a little smack of that, little taste of that Romeo Juliet stuff. And see, here's the mark of a mature Christian. Even if you don't have something, you can be genuinely happy that somebody else has it. Amen, somebody. And you can root them on. And at the same time, not be fake about it. Trump and Melania don't have what Pence and his wife has. They don't. Now, Pence hold his hand out, his wife right there, bam. I forget his wife's name. But Mrs. Pence. That's automatic, just as easy. It's automatic. They don't try to fake that. It's automatic. And Melania and President Trump, they don't have that. And most couples don't have it. Okay, so don't stop being fake. Number three, the third reason is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 through 32. The Christian husband must love his wife this way because you are one with her, just as Jesus Christ is one with the church. Boom. Zip, boom. There it is. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together regarding the family and around the family verses. And Lord, help all Christian families, just like we're hearing biblical truth from people like Dave Ramsey regarding finances. People are hearing biblical truth from me and others regarding doing the family, doing the hard work, the same kind of similar hard work dealing with finances. Stuff we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear nothing about saving 6 months of expense money in case something happens. We don't want to hear nothing about we can't buy a new car on credit. We don't want to hear nothing about cutting up a credit card. And people don't want to hear this about wives submitting to their husbands, husbands loving their wives, and all of that. But this is the biblical way. This is the tough road. This is the straight and narrow road. And we pray that you would grant us all your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to go down what one writer said is no easy road. So that we can live, in the words of Dave Ramsey, in the future like no other. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage for today is Psalm 112, verses 1 through 5. Yes, we read that entire passage every morning, with the exception of a few mornings where we might have skipped a certain section, but we read from both chapters every morning. To speed up things, I would skip over certain sections, but for the most part we read that entire passage. That's in Ephesians 5 and 6 and every day. But we also read, if you will, general reading from the Bible, whole books of the Bible. I cannot tell you how many times we read through Proverbs, Psalms, and other Ephesians, Galatians, and throughout the whole Bible, rather. Verse 1, today, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, we have to praise the Lord that there are people in the world who fear him and serve him. And they are a happy people, which is owing entirely to God's grace. Their fear is not that which love casts out, but that which love brings in. It follows and flows from love. It is a fear to offend. This is both fear and trust. The heart touched by the Spirit of God turns direct and speedily to God, yet still with trembling, being filled with holy fear. Blessings are laid up for the faithful and their children's children, and true riches are bestowed on them with as much of this world's possessions as is profitable for them. In the darkest hours of affliction and trial, the light of hope and peace will spring up within them, and seasonable relief shall turn mourning into joy. How fitting it is to read that today in conjunction with the Word of God in light of the death of the great evangelist Billy Graham. Join us, my beloved, in praying over the estates and for the estates. You should know them by now, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for your church. Help us to get on the revival ground through prayer and seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways and humbling ourselves. We pray for President Trump and the government of America and the governments of the world, based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and life blessings, and leadership, and guidance, and forgiveness of sin in President Donald Trump's life and his administration. And we pray for Vice President Mike Pence. We pray for First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Chief of Staff John Kelly, all leaders of federal agencies, including Selective Service System Director Donald M. Benton, all state governors, including North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, all city mayors, including Cincinnati, Ohio Mayor John Cranley, all members of Congress, including Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. We pray for all law enforcement officials, including Lexington, Kentucky Police Chief Mark Barnard, all military leaders, James Mad Dog Mattis, General Todd D. Walters, Commander of U.S. Air Force Forces in Europe and Africa, leaders of Europe and Africa, rather, leaders around the world. We pray for Gabon's President Ali Ondimba and Prime Minister Emmanuel Isozi Gondet, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and your blessings upon the modern-day David, Benjamin Netanyahu, who will go down as one of the greatest prime ministers in the history of Israel. And Lord, we pray for the people. We pray for the citizens of this country, once again in an uproar and led by young people. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon every soul in this country. And we pray that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, your Holy Gospel, will never give any of them rest, and it will trouble their hearts and convict their hearts until the day of their death, until they come to know your Savior. And Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and Lord, lead them to yourself so that they can have peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable, as do all of your truly born-again Christian people. We pray for the media, the traditional media, as well as the new media, that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help the Christians to stand up and set a standard. And we pray that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved and help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and not to make up fake news and unnecessary news just to feed the news cycle. And so, Holy Father God, we pray, which is now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We pray now, Lord, for current events that are happening around the world, not to inform you, but to actually obey you by praying for people that we don't know, interceding for them. We pray, Lord, for the comfort of the families of the 66 people killed in the airplane crash in Iran. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 18 people killed by suicide bombers in Nigeria this weekend. We pray for the comfort of the families and church family of the 5 people killed in an ISIS attack on a church in Russia. We pray for the family of the model mother and wife who somehow, for some reason, killed her husband and her adult children. Lord, we pray for that town. We pray for that neighborhood. We pray for that city. We pray for everybody impacted by this tragedy. And we pray that you would comfort them as only you can. We pray for the comfort of the families and community affected by the deadly high school shooting in Florida, which left 17 dead and 14 wounded, and no doubt others. Comfort them and help them as only you can. And Lord, we pray that you would resolve this problem in America. And Lord, we pray now for the prayer requests that have come in to the hundreds. We pray salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon all of these people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers. Hear and answer our prayers for them. And Lord, bless them and everybody who's gotten saved through this ministry and who has rededicated their life through this ministry. And we pray now for a few by name. We pray for Bushibi. Please bless the soul-winning campaign and the Pastors Leaders Conference with the food, mattresses, seats, and Bibles they need. Deliver Africa from drought. We pray for Mary. Please help her and her sister to pass her examination. We pray for Doreen. Heal her sister who is under depression treatment and save her. We pray for Marilyn. Please give her a godly husband. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray, thank you for the hundreds that have been saved. And we pray for a few of them today. We pray for Richard, Peter, Samantha. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. And we pray that you'll help these to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Brenda. We pray for Otito. And we pray for M. And we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading today is titled The Responsibility of Family by Dr. Billy Graham. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 29 says, "Bless me and my family forever." Apart from religious influence, the family is the most important unit of society. It would be good if every home were a Christian home, but we know that it is not so. The family and the home can never exert their proper influence while ignoring the biblical standard. The Bible calls for discipline and a recognition of authority. If children do not learn this at home, they will go out into society without the proper attitude toward authority and law. And this is very, very key and very important. The reason why most of you parents are being brought down to your grave by your children, the reason why your heart is already broken and is constantly being broken into little pieces by your offspring, and now even your grandchildren, is because of not taking heed to what the great evangelist Billy Graham just said. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. He said, if children do not learn this at home, what? Let me repeat that part to you. The Bible calls for discipline and a recognition of authority. That discipline and that authority and understanding authority comes from right from you parents. You've got to establish that with your children at home. He goes on to say, if children do not learn this at home, they will go out into society without the proper attitude toward authority and law, and that's where your heart begins to break. And it's nobody's fault but yours. Before the great black police chief of Dallas, Texas retired, I forget his name at the moment. Somebody help me. David Brown. Thank you. David Brown said, we need to stop putting everything on the police officers and understand that somebody is falling down on the job at home. We can't raise your children. We can arrest your children, but we cannot raise them. And the whole of society is putting everything on the police officer. How we need to be nurturing and understanding and all of this. No, that's not our job. We enforce the law. We cannot raise your children to obey the law and respect officers. Amen, somebody. So this is what Billy Graham is talking about. There's always the exceptional child, but the average tells us that the child is largely what the home has made him. The only way to provide the right home for your children is to put the Lord above them. Amen, somebody. See, this is the problem. This is the problem. God is the one who blessed you with the children. And just let me say to you, one of the main reasons why God hates divorce is because God has blessed your marriage with the privilege of sex through that wonderful pleasure and privilege. Human beings come from that. I mean, new creatures from God come from that beautiful marriage bed situation. His children. They're not yours. God blesses you with children. And then you want to lose your mind and talk about getting a divorce and talk about splitting the children. You live in California and the other spouse lives in Washington, D.C. Got to fly the children by themselves oftentimes across the cotton picking nation to spend a weekend with a father who has a girlfriend and does not have time for the children, does not want to introduce the children to the girlfriend because the children will ask crazy questions like, who is this woman? Is she going to be our new mommy and all kinds of that? No. They don't want that. Same thing, vice versa. That causes confusion in the minds of those children. It causes depression and defeat, and it causes suicide. And I have said this before, and I'll say it again. And that is, God basically says, I believe, to some so-called divorced people, oh, okay, you're not going to love these children enough to stay together. You're not going to love me enough and respect me enough to stay together, even though I've told you I hate divorce. Okay, these three beautiful children that you love so much, I'll take them from you. I gave the children to you to love and to have and to hold and to raise and to enjoy. And oh, but now you so bad that you can't stay together for these, at least for these children's sake that I blessed you with. Okay. When you least expect it, I'm going to take one of them. Or I'll take all three of them. Because I'll never lose. Because I love these children. And I'm not going to lose anything when they die. They're coming home to me. You're going to lose them. And you're going to be out of your mind. You will never recover from it. You will regret the day you got a divorce. But anyway, that's free. Back to my original point. Allow me to read that section in your hearing again. The only way to provide the right home for your children is to put the Lord above them and fully instruct them in the ways of the Lord. See, too many of you people have put your children that God blessed you with. You think they came from you. They didn't come from you. Well, they look like me. They might look like it. That's God being a blessing to you, man, giving you the feeling that he has when he created you and created everybody else in his image. And this is why people say, boy, he's a spitting image of you. Your wife just spit him out for you. Hey, that boy looked just like you. That girl looked just like you. That's God just being a blessing to you. That's just an extra. That's the cherry on top. But God never gave you the children to put the children above him. That's another reason why he would take the children from you. You're making an idol out of the child to the point you won't even discipline the child. If you are a godly, good parent, you don't want to discipline the child, but you love God more than you love that child, and you're going to discipline that child for the glory of God. Otherwise, you're going to have hell to pay starting around age 14, 13, 14, 15. If not sooner, they can become a terror even before then if you let them be that way and you're always appeasing them and giving them what they want. Billy Graham goes on. You are responsible before God for the home you provide for them. You are responsible to God for the home that you provide for them. And husbands and fathers, you don't have the nurturing thing going on like the wife does and the mother should have. But today many women don't have that either. But your job is to make sure that not only that they have a place to stay, but that things are done decently and in order in your home so that they have space to grow, a place to grow into adulthood and a life of responsibility and glorifying God and obeying God. That means you need to be there a lot, making sure things go the way they should go. You ought not to have a situation in your home where boys and girls are bumping into each other, coming in and out the bathroom and all crazy garbage like that. Talking about oops and oops, no. There ought to be some decency and some order. And you need to be there to make that happen. Not all the time, but you need to be there to make that happen. And may God bless you with a good wife who can handle it while you're gone for a little while. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this devotional that based upon your holy word. And we pray that you would forgive us of our sins in our family life of loving our children more than we love you. Forgive us of our sins of divorcing and putting our children through hell because of our selfishness and wanting to act like we're young and cool again when we are actually old and dying, trying to get with this young woman or this young man and sacrificing our children, which you're not pleased with because you hate divorce. And we pray for the millions of parents whose hearts are broken because they didn't raise their children right and they have a son in jail and a daughter strung out with some man who does not love her. And so, Lord, help them to commit all of this to prayer. And we pray that you'll make up the difference as only you can. And we pray that younger couples would not make these mistakes in the first place. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and hell. Now, if you if you've never trusted Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, trust him today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins, and we die spiritually. Our soul goes to hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. You cannot go to heaven unless you trust Christ as Savior. Not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, not Mahatma Gandhi, not Muhammad, Jesus. You trust in anybody else, you're going to hell. Speaking of hell, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news. Hell is bad news. Billy Graham died today. And because he believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, getting saved and at an evangelistic crusade many years ago, he's in heaven with the Lord. You will die one day soon as well. Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? Because Jesus Christ came and died for your sins on the cross, was buried and rose again, so that you can be saved from hell and saved to heaven. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shall be saved. Are you willing to trust Christ as Savior today? Are you willing to pray and ask him to save your soul today? Good. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. What a great day to get saved. Follow me phrase by phrase. Repeat after me phrase by phrase. And pray and ask God to save your soul through faith in Christ. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shall be saved. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. I've done evil and wicked things in your sight, and Lord, you know what they are. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, and that he is the sacrificial lamb who took away the sins of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying my sin debt. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and save my soul from hell and save my soul to heaven and fill me with your Holy Spirit to repent of my sins and to change, turn me from my old life and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
He's coming back. and fulfill the prophecy. I know that everything is gonna be alright. He's coming back. He said he would.
Get ready for peace, love, and happiness.
I know he's coming back.
Just like he said he would.